Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ is considered by some to be an offensive movie. Why? I mean, does it contain sex or bad language? No. It's because it's the brutal and graphic depiction of the death of Jesus Christ. 800 years BC, the book of Isaiah prophesied that the brutal death would take place, and the Messiah would be bruised for our iniquities. We're further told in Isaiah 55, verses 5 through 10, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What does that mean, it pleased the Lord to bruise him? And how does that affect you and I? Well, let me explain it by telling you a story. A small boy was once forbidden by his father from touching an antique vase. One day the child not only touched it, he accidentally broke it. But he wasn't too concerned because he thought it could be easily replaced. When the father found out that it was broken, he told his son that it was worth $25,000. It was only when the son understood the vase's true value that he saw the seriousness of his transgression and felt sorrow of heart. When the father saw the child was truly sorry, he said, "Son, it's going to cost everything I have, but because I love you, I'll replace it myself." Now, to understand the incredible thing that God has done for you and I, what we have to do is see the depth of our transgression. Like that son, while he thought it was a cheap vase, wasn't too worried. Once he understood the value of the vase, then he was able to find a place of sorrow of heart. In the same way, we will not understand our sin and what God did for us until we understand how bad sin is in the sight of God. So to do so, we're going to look at the mirror of the Ten Commandments. They reflect how we are in truth. It's a moral mirror, the Ten Commandments. So let's do it. Stay with me. It's not a pleasant sight. It's like looking at yourself first thing in the morning in the mirror. But it's the truth. It reflects what we are. Outstanding hairstyle, pale face, puffy eyes. And once we see ourselves in truth, we see our need to go to the water to wash. And it's the same with God's law. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, we see ourselves in truth, and that drives us to God for His forgiveness. So what we'll do is we'll very briefly go through those Ten Commandments, and we'll see how we look in God's sight, how we look in truth. First commandment, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. What does that mean? Well, that means God commands that He be first in our affections. He gave us life, and so it's only right that we should give Him our affections. The Bible commands, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. In fact, Jesus said, unless you hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and your own life, you cannot be my disciple. What was he saying? Well, that's called hyperbole, a statement of extremes. Extremes, love with hate, for emphasis' sake. And what he was saying is that our love for God should be so great that our love for mother, father, brother, sister, and our own life should seem like hatred compared to the love we have for the God who gave those loved ones and that life to us. And the Bible says there's none that seek after God. None of us can say we've kept the first of the Ten Commandments. The second is you should not make yourself a graven image. In other words, you should not make a God to suit yourself, either with your hands, that is, as an idol or an image, or in your mind. Where we say, oh, my God isn't a God of wrath and judgment. My God's a God of love and mercy. We create a God, a false God, to suit ourselves. A God of the imagination, the place of imagery. I did that for 22 years. I was a non-Christian. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. I believe He rose from the dead. But my image of God was erroneous. My God was one I felt comfortable with. I snuggled up to Him and prayed every night to the non-existing God of my imagination. None of us have an understanding of what God is like. We all have a false image of His nature and His character. And the Bible says idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. The third commandment is you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name as a cuss word to express disgust? That's called blasphemy. Very serious crime in the sight of God. And the Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. Jesus warned every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Boy, I look back in my 22 years as a non-Christian. Not once did I say, God, you gave me life and every blessing I've ever attained. What do you require of me? One day in seven, I violated that commandment. Blew the fifth, honor your father and mother, in my teenage years. I wasn't openly rebellious. I didn't cast my parents out or do things open, but my attitude was bad. I didn't honor them in a way that's pleasing in the sight of God. The sixth is you shall not kill. You'd think we'd be safe from that one, but Jesus said if you get anger without cause, you're in danger of judgment. And the Bible further warns He that hates his brother is a murderer. You see, God requires truth in the inward parts. He sees the thought life. I mean, it makes sense if God can create the eyes with 137 million light-sensitive cells. He can also see what he's created. If he made man's mind, he can see the brain. He can see the thought life. In fact, the Bible says that darkness is pure light to him. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And God requires truth in the inward parts. He sees the motives. He sees the desires of the heart. And he considers hatred to be murder. Look at the seventh. You shall not commit adultery. But listen to what Jesus said. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever done that? Ever looked with lust? I'm sure you have. I mean, who hasn't? Most men burn with lust. It's a great pleasure to them. And yet God says it's adultery in his sight. That commandment, you shall not commit adultery, also includes fornicators, those who have had premarital sex. They sin against God and sin against their own body. And so none of us can say I've kept the seventh of the Ten Commandments. The eighth, listen to this one, you shall not steal. Ever taken something belong to somebody else, irrespective of its value? I'm sure you have. I certainly did. I haven't met anyone, I don't think, that didn't take something. And if someone says, I haven't taken anything, well, just look at the book of Malachi. It says, bring your tithes to God. And if you don't tithe to God, if you don't give to God his rightful dues, then you're robbing God. The ninth commandment is, you shall not be a false witness. Have you ever told a lie? A fib, a half-truth, an exaggeration. I'm not talking about discretion. That is, someone comes to you and says, like my hat, and it's really ugly, and you say, well, I've seen better. No, I'm talking about bearing false witness. You know the difference, your conscience knows the difference, and God knows the difference. And the Bible says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. What a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the tenth is, you shall not covet. And who of us can say, I never desired something belong to somebody else? We're all guilty of breaking those commandments. In fact, the Bible says, whosoever shall offend in one point, the same is guilty of all. You don't have to break 10 links of a chain to break the chain. Just break one. You don't have to break 10 laws to have the police after you. Just break one and you're a lawbreaker and debt to justice. So what will you do on the day of judgment when all your secret sins come out as evidence of your guilt? Again, nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You say, I don't think God is going to punish liars and thieves. Well, think of it. Should God punish murderers? Someone who's cut the throat of a woman after he's raped her and stabs her in the heart 30 times, buries a body, never brought to justice. Should God punish him? Of course he should if he's good. But God is so good he's going to punish rapists also, and thieves and liars and blasphemers and fornicators, and those who have lived contrary to the inner light that God has given to every man. The scriptures warn it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'd love to say to you, you're fine. If you die in your sins, you're fine. God loves you. Don't worry. I'd be lying to you. I'm telling you the gospel truth. When you die, you have to stand before God. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Please come to your senses and be honest. Listen to the voice of your conscience. Think of the sins of your youth. Think of those hidden things you did that were wrong, that you've pushed out of your mind because they're not pleasant memories. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to end up the lake of fire. Imagine that. Have you ever been in terrible pain? Had a toothache or a stomachache you can't bear? Or slammed your thumb on a door? Well, the Bible says hell is a terrible place of pain and suffering for eternity. I'd love to say it doesn't exist, but it does. There must be ultimate eternal justice. So what will you do on the day of judgment when you have to give an account of every idle word? Oh, you need a Savior. You need someone who can wash away your sins. Oh, thank God that he made provision for your forgiveness. He sent forth his son, born of a woman, a perfect, sinless man. God became a human being without sin and gave his life as a sacrifice for your sins. You broke God's law and Jesus paid your fine. He was bruised for our iniquities. What an incredible thing. It pleased God to bruise him. In other words, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. In other words, he looked into the future and saw those who were going to come and receive everlasting life because of his death. And because of this, it pleased God to bruise him. It please God to pay the fine. Such is your value in the sight of a holy God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing God has done for you and I. Because of the death and resurrection of the Son of God, eternal justice can be satisfied. God can release you from the courtroom. He can let you live. You can be reprieved from capital punishment. The Bible tells us that even though we sinned, we can be forgiven. So how do you receive this forgiveness? Well, repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't just confess your sins to God. Confess and forsake them. That is, pour your heart out to God in confession of sin and turn from sin. Stop lying. Stop stealing. Stop committing adultery. And I don't mean just reform your life. I mean confess your sins to God and bring forth fruit of repentance. And stop lusting. You say, "I can't stop lusting. It's such a part of me." Well, you'll be a new creature in Christ. God will give you a new heart with new desires. You'll just love to serve him. And you'll love the things you once hated and hate the things you once loved. You'll be a new creature in Christ, born again, with the gift of everlasting life. And don't just believe in Jesus, trust in him with all your heart, like you trust a parachute to save you. You don't just believe in a parachute, you put it on. Well, you do that. I can lead you in a prayer. Well, let me give you an example of a prayer you should pray. Just go to God and name your sins, confess them. Don't just say, "God, I've sinned." Say, "God, I've burned with lust, I've been a pervert, unclean sexual desires, I've lied and stolen, I'm a liar and a thief." Say, "Thank you, Lord, that you made provision for my forgiveness, that Jesus was bruised for my iniquities. I now trust him as my Lord and Savior." And then pick up a Bible and obey what you read. Show God that your repentance is more than lip service. Read the Bible every day without fail. And we've got something that can help you. It's called Save Yourself Some Pain. Go to livingwaters.com, and click on Save Yourself Some Pain. It's full of principles that will cause you to grow in your Christian walk. And also, there's a lot of free tapes you can listen to. Hell's Best Kept Secret, and other tapes that will help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And I want to thank you for giving me your attention, for listening to this. And I pray that you'll grow in the knowledge of the Lord and share your faith with others. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.